CliffCentral.com.
Ah, good morning, everybody. Let's get this party started. Tuesday. Ah, it's all happening. All right, so we're joined by the usual cast on a Tuesday. We've got Pumi Mashiko, we've got Sia Sangweni, we've got Bulelo Tinta, we've got Mpundotlala running things in the studio, and we've got you. Aren't you excited? Isn't this a good day to be alive?
Top of the morning.
Yo, yo, yo.
Basically alive.
It's a good day to be alive. I mean, you know, the alternative is to be dying of coronavirus.
Oh,
yeah. I don't want that.
Is that the only alternative? We quickly had to jump to that.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, there's some in-between steps before it's, you know, dead of coronavirus or completely alive. But you
yes,
get the
ICU
idea.
ICU like Bojo.
Yeah, shame. Boris Johnson's in ICU.
Sure.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah, it's just 2-3 days ago, and I was thinking... We can mock and ridicule and have fun with Boris, but now it looks like he's in really bad shape.
Mm. I had to quickly Google how old he was.
Yeah.
Like, how old is he? Is he in that, like, extremely vulnerable bracket?
Mm-hmm. How old is he?
Oh, I don't know.
You Googled and you didn't find out, so that was a point.
I didn't remember.
Did you?
Yes, I fell into one of those Sia wormholes. About on the internet, you
yeah.
know how you start
they're real
direction, and then you're reading Neil deGrasse Tyson telling you that 1,000 rabbits in 5 years is going to be 7 billion. I was just like, what?
So he's 55 years old.
Okay, so he's not even that old.
He's almost in the bracket. He's 5 years into.
But I mean, 55. You shouldn't be in intensive care on coronavirus. This shows you how weird this disease is. It's sort of it's unpredictable, right? I mean, the people in their 30s who've had this and have ended up on ventilators. So you really can't tell.
In fairness, he looks meek though, doesn't he? Boris has aged badly, like super rich kid who never went outside. He looks like one of those.
He looks like any other Englishman to me. I mean, he doesn't look particularly better or worse than any other Englishman.
Yeah.
He's got the pale, I never went outside. And he comes from proper wealth
yeah,
stock.
But so. Like I said, any other Englishman.
Mm. He just enjoys your bangers and mash.
I mean, like, I've seen more pale. I've seen more unhealthy. I mean, Boris is kind of he's mostly looking indefatigable. You know, like a very Churchillian in terms of you can take us on the beaches, you can take us on the in the skies and on the land and in the seas, and you know, he's kind of got that look to him. I don't think he was, and you know, his real name is Alexander Boris DeFifel Johnson. DeFifel.
DeFifel.
How's that?
Mm. Yeah, he started using his first name at Eton College after
yeah,
he went
yeah.
there.
A school will make you do that. Change your middle name. DeFifel.
Yeah,
do you know
rebrand.
How many jokes people can make?
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of like the name Alexander as the first name, but he went with Boris. That's what he went for.
I think you want to be more unique.
He wasn't at Eton, by the way.
Okay, no, well, according to Wikipedia, yes.
Sorry. Yeah, you're quite right. Sorry.
I know that for a fact.
You, let me guess. You were at school with him.
No, I did. I did do an exchange 6 months
ago. Close enough. Yeah, well. You were right.
And his photo is in one of the boarding houses.
And did he have better hair when he was younger?
I don't know. Hmm. Well, his photo now when he was the Mayor of London or whatever he was.
I'm trying to.
In 2003.
I'm trying to just scroll through his Wikipedia here to see if there's any illness that we know of in his past. And so far, nothing, because that's
he's in good health,
always,
this guy.
No, that's always what I look at before we jump
he's
to say, oh my God, really
are you kidding? He's got like a 32-year-old girlfriend. The guy's fine. He's up to now, he's been in good health. Let me tell you something. You want to know how healthy a man is? Look at the age of his partner. Look at how good she's looking, and you'll know straight away, because if he's a problem and he needs constant care and medication and nursing, and she's going to look tired, and she doesn't. She's what's her name? Carrie Simmons. Aren't
yes.
they? I don't know if they're married or if they're engaged.
Girlfriend.
Okay.
and she's 32.
Yeah, 32. So she's not running for the hills. So clearly Boris knows what he's about, you know?
Well, he's also, like, generationally wealthy. That helps. She might stick around for that.
Yeah.
By the way, Eton College
Sia
has...
Sia would stick around for that.
Absolutely. By the way, Eton College has the weirdest entry questions, you know, like for the interview stage, because they want to remain so elite.
Yeah. How many barrels does your surname have, and how many barrels does your gun have?
It's full of philosophical questions as well.
Oh yeah. So that's why Mbulelo would have got in if he lived in England.
No, well, we just said they have a brotherhood with us, with the school I went to. So in reality, it's how rich are you and you get in. Like, it's not like how smart you are. Yeah, don't worry about
it. It never used to be, though. I mean, like, money was always part of it. But the problem with those schools now is, like, if you're a Saudi prince, you can get in, right?
No, it's all about money now. Yeah. Like, don't worry about being smart either. It's not.
No. No. But isn't it true that
when has it ever not been?
Something like 2/3 of all the British prime ministers ever have been from Eton.
So Eton, right, is the feeder school. So people may or may not know this. So I remember going on like the tour where you go to Oxford, and then you go and like obviously it's essentially the feeder school, right? And
yeah.
it's power's incestuous, whether you like it or not. So some of the guys would go, "There's like my grandfather from 7 generations ago."
Yeah.
Like, what? You know, that just lets you know what's going on
there. Oh, I just found out Boris and Carrie are engaged, and she is pregnant. But she also, guess what? She
is his cousin. Bag.
She has...
coronavirus!
That's right.
Coronavirus! I'm telling you, shit is real!
Mm-hmm.
Shit is getting real!
Mm-hmm. Now, wouldn't it be horrible? Listen, I mean, people, you know, a lot of people have already died from this thing. But if we lose a world leader... And the UK is one of the world's most powerful countries. You know, when you think of influence on the global stage, Britain's kind of occupied this position, rightly or wrongly, for a while. It would be a devastating blow to the world if we lost a world leader to this thing, right?
I don't know so much, Gareth. I think if we lost Elon Musk, it's a bigger thing now. Like, I think in the time of kings and queens, maybe. But now, like... I mean, Theresa May was just in the other day. Like, that didn't shake up the world. No,
listen, Theresa May, her husband wouldn't miss her if she was gone.
Yeah, but...
I don't know so much.
Like, if Bill Gates died, it's a big thing.
Pumi?
I wondered about that. Like, if Boris goes, does that mean it's true that when you fulfilled what you were here to do, you just die?
He said he'd bring about Brexit, and I'm going to get the job done, and he's done it, and now?
But now he's just, I actually had a moment of, wow, wouldn't that be, like, spectacular?
Yeah. Well...
To say, well, you know, that's what he was here to do, bring about Brexit, and he's delivered. Okay, thank you. We're done with you now.
No, that wouldn't explain Harvey Weinstein, though. All right, there are a couple of things on my agenda. Can we get cracking with these? Number one, I got an email from Isaac in Pietermaritzburg, and I'd like to have your thoughts on this. All right, so Isaac sent this email to me. I'm sorry, Isaac, I only got to it now, but he sent it on the 1st of April. So he said, I haven't bought a new iron since 2011. Of all the times it chose to blow up 2 days ago within the lockdown. The damn thing almost burnt down my apartment when it did. Anyway, I tried unsuccessfully in the past 2 days to get a new iron. They all claim with pleasure.
Is that an essential item?
Well, this is it. They all claim with pleasure it's not an essential item. Shopping online is probably worse because you're allowed to see all the products in their glory, but you can only shop. They can only ship them, and you can only shop for them during after the lockdown is over, right? I've resigned to my fate to emerge from the lockdown looking like a snake's meal.
Oh, no.
But I want to know why he's ironing clothes to begin with in the lockdown.
Well, maybe he dresses up. Maybe he's a smart, snappy dresser, you know? I mean, not a slob who's like wearing a hoodie like me today.
I hope he's not doing it for that Don't Rush challenge.
No, I don't think so. But he said he's resigned to his fate, and he says, what do you think? Shouldn't things like irons and hair clippers be classified as essential? Thanks for holding things together and keeping the show going. Listening to you could be classified as an essential service. Thanks, Isaac in Pietermaritzburg. Now, First of all, this is a dumb rule. This is an unenforceable dumb rule. The fact that they've barricaded off things like irons and kettles is stupid beyond belief. Those products are already on the shelf, in the shop that you're allowed to go into. Why can't you buy them? It's another one of these dumb rules. And I'm telling you, this government of ours are on a power trip second to none with these rules at the moment. It's Becky Cele and his people. This is nonsense. If you need an iron, you need a goddamned iron. Buy the iron. What is the point of government stepping in the way of you buying an iron? What are we, the Soviet Union?
Let me just try to understand what the possible chain reaction might be. So what do you think was behind their decision to not sell some of these items? Is it to lessen traffic or flow in stores? Is it to...
Stupid. It has not been thought through at all.
Like, stop, like, much, iron factories.
How much can we get into people's lives because people don't respect government enough? Let's make it tough for them to buy irons and kettles. That's what they're thinking. I'm telling you, it comes from some dark, not good place. It's not rational. There is no rational explanation. Why the hell can't you buy a kettle? You know, if your kettle goes now, I mean, who has a backup kettle?
No, you don't.
Right? Now, if your kettle goes, I mean, for some people, that thing's the only thing that boils water in their house. If you're poor, but forget the poor for a second. If you're someone who needs coffee or tea in the morning to get your day started, and you're working from home, supposedly, you're going to need that kettle, right? You're not going to be boiling water in a pot on the stove.
Just boil water in a pot.
No, but I don't understand why you can't buy this. It is a dumb rule. No one will have a good explanation for this. There isn't one. Or am I missing something?
Dude, I'm just impressed that South Africans have taken to this thing. And on the large, you know, they've just, because we don't follow rules. South Africans just don't follow rules. We don't like it.
I'm not impressed. I don't like this at all.
And people have completely, so many people have complied. I am glad that people have complied.
I'm not. I think we're giving up our civil. We are giving up. Yeah, but we're giving up our civil liberties. And so far, how many 12 people have died? The whole country has had to stop what it was doing for 12 people.
It could be worse.
It could be.
It still will be. It still will be.
Could also be better. Our economy is never going to recover. I don't think this is necessary. I think this is the worst misjudgment, and I'm going to stick by that. I've felt this from the beginning. I think they are fucking up badly. And Isaac, I'm sorry you can't have your iron. More importantly than that.
Oh, Isaac, the Ayina.
There's Isaac, so many things that you'll find in the process that's like, oh, shucks, what do I do now, actually?
Well, you know what this is going to do now, because people are going to go out and buy a backup iron or a backup kettle as soon as the shops open up again. So you can see a run on that stuff, which is stupid, but it's going to happen. You know, unintended consequences. There's nobody who thinks long term when they make rules like this. It's just dumb. I do not see any way for this to be a sensible decision.
I think it was Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma who was commenting the other day saying, actually, the ripple effect of not having things because of the lockdown and, you know, what is essential and what isn't essential will lead to people panic buying, ultimately. She owned that.
Right.
And then people panic buying will lead to price hikes if more people, and this is more companies, don't come on board and not accelerate or add to their prices unnecessarily. But she thinks a price hike is in our future.
Well, everything's going to go. I'm sorry, but poverty is in our future thanks to these decisions. So get ready.
Oh, Lord. What if poverty is already in your present?
Then you're going to have even more of that. So get another spoonful. All right. Tracy also sent me an email. Now, this is it's a long email, so I'm going to paraphrase.
Okay.
But Tracy was listening to Jen Hsu the other day on Living in Lockdown, right?
Oh, yeah.
And Jen, she says, really hit home with her because her son was also diagnosed with AML leukemia in November of 2018, and he was 8 at the time. So he received a stem cell transplant from his brother, who was 100% match a few months later. Physically, he's doing great. but he's been back at school since October last year, cancer-free. Mentally, they've got some struggles, PTSD and other things, but the alternative is incomprehensible. So Tracy says, Jen Sue was talking about how she wipes everything down with Clorox wipes, and she's paranoid about germs, and you know, even when they have a delivery from Amazon or whatever, she leaves it in a garage for like 2-3 days to make sure that nothing on it has survived. Then she wipes that down too, brings it into the house, puts it on a counter. After she's put it on the counter, wipes the counter down. Now, it sounds mad, right? But she is terrified that her son, who has a compromised immune system, might get something from the outside. And if it was this coronavirus, it could be quite devastating. So Tracy was saying they had a much worse situation in some ways, and it got her thinking. Sanitizing, cleaning, washing, air purifying, repeating all of that hourly. Our family would be separated from each other some of the time. My son and I would stay in isolation at hospital while receiving chemo and treatment for up to 6 weeks at a time, while my husband and my youngest son would be at home. While in hospital, we weren't allowed visitors. We had no contact with others. We weren't allowed fresh food, fruit, salad, vegetables due to the risk of spores and other plant-based contaminants.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. You could only eat hospital food, and after about 2 days, everything tastes the same. She said, we called that time our new normal for about 11 months. We had to quickly adapt or literally die. It was as simple as that. So technically, Tracy says, this is our second lockdown. The difference now is that we're all together. We're all healthy. We stick to a routine. We stick to the rules. We know very well that the risks of doing that are crazy. We avoid the media. We keep busy. Even if it's reorganizing the Tupperware cupboard again, but we keep busy. How's that, huh?
Sure.
Okay. Perspective set.
Now suddenly your struggles don't seem so hard, right? Your iron, or, you know, the fact that you can't go to the shops whenever you want, or you can't visit family members. Suddenly that doesn't look like the most important thing in the universe compared to Tracy's problems.
No fresh fruit, yeah. No fresh vegetables.
Mm-hmm. How do you like that?
Yeah, that's a whole new shake-up on perspective. Okay, I'll shut up now. I'll stop complaining.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's, you know, I think everybody is going through some kind of reset of priorities, of important things, and stuff that you're going to not do anymore.
Yeah.
The kind of stuff that you're just like, yeah, I can do without this. Going forward, I'm just not going to. And it's, I think for everybody on levels of severity, it's hectic.
Yeah. Well, I've got good news. Eddie said he can maybe do something for us every Friday from now on, and he's keen on getting this going. So take a listen and see if you like this idea. All right, here's Eddie's voice note.
Good morning, Gareth and the team. This is Eddie here. I'm going to make this voice note very short and sweet. I would love to do an angel card reading every Friday, as I am indeed an angel therapist practitioner. I would just do a short reading just to, you know, to have our spirits and our souls full on a Friday so that we can get ready. Since Friday is a no politics Friday day, I would be very glad to just, you know, edify our souls and to just put us in a positive space. Thank you so much, guys. Love the show. Cheers.
Well, I mean, I'm not jumping at Eddie's idea. Anybody? I don't want an angel card reading. I mean, Eddie, it's very sweet of you, but no thank you. That sounds like bullshit to
Ooh.
Me.
Ooh. See, if you focus on everything positive, sure. If you're going to tell me like...
See, I only want the positive.
Yeah, really, no. If you see death next week for me, let me walk into death with a hop, skip, and a jump. Yeah. If I need... No. Yeah, Eddie.
Listen, this is very nice of you, Eddie, but you go and tell your wares somewhere else. It's not right?
Yeah.
Anybody hankering after a little angel card reading? No?
No, all but right. Somebody who I used to know has become a psychic as well. Uh-oh. She's like full on Instagram. Uh-oh. Oh, it's gone crazy.
How does someone just become a psychic?
Well, she's transitioned to it. She started by...
Oh, please, if she was a real psychic, she'd have predicted coronavirus. Not one psychic predicted that. That's a fairly large event. You think if you could see into the future, I can tell you're going to have a good February. Oh, yeah? How about coronavirus, bitch?
Well, tell me about the rest of my 2020 and how that's going to go.
I'll tell you what we're learning here. We're learning very quickly that during a situation like the coronavirus, there are a bunch of people who have had places in the economy that were almost like protected places where you didn't have to prove what you're doing was useful. And now those people are going to find themselves even more unemployed and useless. These are not services we need. Listen, I'm not attacking Eddie here. He may be doing something that he loves. He may have a real talent for therapy, effectively, because that's what he's doing. He may be good at communicating with people, but I'm sorry, like psychics and tarot card readers in the 2020 post-coronavirus, no, thank you.
But this begs the question, do things need to be useful, or is it just a matter of if it makes people feel good? Like, well, some things just make people feel better. So
if they make you feel good, one could argue that it makes it useful.
It is very useful.
You're going to see a spike in religion. That always happens. It happened in every plague in history. So
absolutely.
Here's something that's not very useful to people, but people cling to it at times like this because it's maybe all they have.
People have started opening the Bible again, going, what about those last days?
Right.
Where's the instruction manual on what I should do on the last days?
So apparently Pastor Shepherd Bushiri is asking his followers for money during lockdown.
Dude.
How much?
Whatever God has placed in your heart to give.
Yeah. Amen.
This guy is not shy, hey? During lockdown, people are going through a hell of a time, and this motherfucker is busy lining them up for cash.
Somebody's got to pay for their private jet.
See, once again, I look at my father and I go, where did you lose the plot?
You chose the wrong.
Your dad is one of those people who actually was a real, like, priest. He grew up with a spiritual inclination, and he wasn't in it to make money out of people.
Well, guys, I actually do have to say he's been so sweet over the past couple of days.
Yeah.
He'll go off to his bedroom for like a little hour blocks, and it's like, what is he doing in there? And there was one time I actually caught him. He was on the phone with different people praying for them. I was like, okay.
See, that's sweet. You see?
You're really sweet. But no private jet.
No, but he's a better person than Shepherd Bushiri, and he's a better person than me. Good thing.
Prayers, private jet. I know
what you would choose. That's why you would make a Shepherd Bushiri out of being a priest. Thank goodness you're not. Good morning, team. KC says, this lockdown has got me screwed up. At first, I found Pumi irritating, but now I really like her. Does she have any nudes?
Oh, wow.
That's KC, huh? Wow. You went from annoying to, can I see you naked?
Lockdown is definitely dragging you.
Yeah. Can we please have a timeline of Mbulelo's life? Because it feels like he's lived more than one life. Actually, is he a vampire?
I'm not a vampire. I'm as human as it gets.
Listen to how
which is exactly what a vampire would say.
And look at that. I'm not a vampire. You know, that's like a stuck standard answer.
Great observation. Do
you know what? I wasted my 20s drinking and binging in bars around the world. Imagine if I'd lived my 20s. Then I really have stories.
You'd have some stories to tell. Jazzy saying this morning, if Becky Taylor needs a cathartic outlet for all of his fascist tendencies, we should ask him if he can stand up to the taxi associations. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm such a big, strong police boss. Look at me. I'm a big man. And then when the taxi associations come along, everybody folds like a paper bag.
No, they're chums. It's not that he's folding.
Because now, exactly. But it's also that he's afraid that they'll kill him, because they will.
I saw a story of taxi ranks they didn't identify which ones, but taxi ranks going to be cleaned and sanitized every couple of days. And I thought, oh, that's a step forward. But I feel like the taxi association in general, mafia-ness aside, has been really great in cooperating during these times.
Yeah, because they got their way. Who are we trying to kid here? I mean, like, you know how people...
And also their intention aside as well.
You know how people say, oh, well, you know, if rich people in suburbia don't get to walk their dogs, that's right, because poor people who don't have space don't get to walk either. Fine, fair enough. But then if the taxi association says we want to fit 70% of the people that we fitted normally, which is it makes no difference. You may as well have 100% if you've got 70. We want to put those people in our taxis and you're not going to stop us. And Fikile folds and Bekitele folds. Then how come that, you know, different rules for different people thing suddenly applies here, but it didn't apply earlier? Right?
Ish? I don't know.
Yes. Greg says, I feel for Isaac because our freezer gave in. And sorry for us, it's not essential. Well, you would think a freezer might be essential at this time for all the frozen meals and the stuff that you want to stock up on. And yeah.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. How's that? I'm listening to you guys at 1:30 p.m. in Central Australia.
Australia, mate.
And that is from Sibangubukawe.
Whoa.
Yeah. Imagine them.
Their lockdown's been extended to, like, ridiculous timelines. I think until July or something like that.
Isn't that typical of Australia? I want to hear them in Australia pronounce Sibangubukawe. That's what I want to hear. Hi, Sibangubukawe. What's going on there, man? That's what I want to hear. Sure.
Viva to you.
He needs to send us another message and tell us what the hell he's doing.
Send us another message, dude. All right, here's not an essay. It's like a little message from...
Is it a long message?
Chiara Bilwe, who says, there's a number of messages here. Sia, blah, blah, blah. 2 or 3 years ago, my gay partner used to force me to listen live. I suppose if that's your gay partner, are you also gay, or was that just you having a flutter?
Or a Tiger King situation.
Yeah. So 2-3 years ago, my gay partner used to force me to listen live, so I couldn't skip said by Sia. Be tolerant of others, he would say. He has since left me. Sia is now funnier and more articulate than ever. Gareth, how's that, huh? Gareth no longer has Tourette's fits when things don't work. Ass is back and Bulelo is still terrible. Who knew change was this fast? Love you all. Peace and love. Peace and love.
Those twists and turns. Could never have seen those ones coming.
Yeah, I was struggling to connect the dots as to, shouldn't we say sorry for your breakup?
Yeah, I think he's complimenting.
We're glad you're here.
I think the reason for that message was to say that Sia, you have become his favorite.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Yes, I'll take that. Yes.
That's awesome.
Garabilwe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Apparently, according to Oki, because half the nation is not self-isolating, this whole 21 days is a complete waste of time. Well, yes.
No, wait, let's not say half the nation.
Okay, but there are a few people breaking the rules. And as I said before, at the start of this, and Pumi, you even hinted at it this morning, like we are a bit like the Wild West and people don't follow rules. And of course, now it looks like everybody is. But we know there have been more people arrested than there are people infected with coronavirus, which tells you everything. You know that we are the only country, listen to this as an interesting factoid this morning, because we talk about interesting facts. Here's something you may not have realized, but the murder rate is way down in South Africa because of the COVID-19 lockdown. South Africa is one of the only countries in the world that has a negative death rate due to COVID-19.
Wow.
At this point, there are just over 11 COVID deaths. However, 235 people haven't been murdered because of the lockdown every day. This translates to a South African death rate that is minus 224 meaning that 224 people are still alive because of COVID-19.
Should we say thank you, Corona?
Yeah, I mean, you know, 200-odd people are still alive today thanks to Corona. Think about that.
And then I'm not going to plant my opinion of this onto all of you, but
wow, see ya.
What I just realized with people who are arrested for breaking the rules of the lockdown is that they will have to stay in jail for the whole period of the lockdown.
And beyond?
Do you think that's a little excessive? Like, for some people, can you not just stay a weekend, whatever, you know, depending on the extremity or the severity of the charge?
Let me read something.
So, like, the 50 people who were arrested at that wedding over the weekend in KZN, all of them are staying in prison for the remainder of the lockdown and then until they... Well, that's...
So, listen to this. This is an article... Sure. There's an article from Pensford, and it starts off, I'm about to upset a lot of people this week, and I apologize in advance. I actually deleted a lot of this from last week's newsletter after I got eviscerated by friends and family. Eviscerated and shamed. I can't recall another time in the last 11 years of writing that I self-edited so heavily. Are you interested yet? The people I love, respect, and trust more than anyone else are the ones who climbed into me the most. They made it clear I was on the wrong side and needed to keep my ignorant opinions to myself.
Okay.
So I quarantined my opinion. That lasted a week. With the market plunge over the last week, I wonder if the larger societal quarantine will last any longer than my opinion quarantine. And he goes on to say a lot of things, but here's the part that I want you to listen to. And he's an American, so he's speaking about the Americans, but it applies here as well. If this quarantine goes on too long, Americans will start running the cost-benefit analysis in their heads. I can't pay my bills. I can't pay for food. I will take my chances, open the doors, and let the chips fall as they may. Now, that'll happen here sooner than it'll happen in America because we have more poverty. And the minute people go, actually, it's more worthwhile for me to take a chance and get out there and get arrested than stay in here and starve to death with my family or have no more money, you watch people start breaking these rules and no amount of police brutality will stop people. Think about that for a second. We've got to get to the headlines. So first of all, from EWN, the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa, they've finally done something after 20 years that I've known about them, just sitting there and having meetings and being paid for nothing. They announced on Monday an emergency release of broadband spectrum to meet a spike in internet demand during a lockdown. The emergency release of the spectrum does not negate the processes that are currently underway, blah, 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 bureaucracy, 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 red tape, red tape, red tape. The temporary release of high-demand spectrum will last for the duration of the national state of disaster, declared by President Cyril. Who's got a hardy-da?
Might be me.
Oh, nice, Pums. You can roast those. They actually taste really good.
How do you know that?
It's bigger than a chicken.
How do you know that? What the 27th day on a survivor island is going on here?
You've never thought about the heart. I mean, they're plentiful, right? Tell me you haven't thought about roasting a hardy dog. Come on.
Oh, that's freaky.
So it depends on what time of the day. So because sometimes they go on at the crack of dawn, these hardy dogs.
I've shot one before.
After a heavy Friday, how do you would it taste like?
That is when that's when I shot one once. I was very hungover one morning, and there was one going on my roof, and I got the gun. I shot the hardy dog. It rolled down the roof. I put it in a black plastic bag, and I threw it away with the rest of the rubbish.
So you shot it with what?
I shot it with a gun.
Wow.
Now, if it's so annoyingly loud when it's alive, what does its final screech sound like?
I don't know, but they're horrible birds. Okay, so basically there's more spectrum, so we should have better internet.
Okay. Thanks, Ikasa.
In other news, the Democratic Nursing Organization of South Africa has accused Netcare of failing to protect staff and patients at St. Augustine's Hospital in Durban. Four of the six patients who have died due to COVID-19 in KZN were treated at that hospital. 11 nurses and six doctors have also tested positive for coronavirus. Netcare insisted all its workers at the hospital had been given appropriate personal protective equipment and had not been expected to work in an unsafe environment. But Denosa, that's the union, Mandla Shabangu, has issued a scathing attack against Netcare, accusing the health group of prioritizing profit over workers and patients. According to Mandla, there were negative attitudes towards the issuing of PPEs to healthcare workers, especially those we call frontliners. What do we think of that?
Red flags. Anything that has to call itself democratic before its name, I'm already worried. I always get, like, why do you have to tell me you're democratic? If you're democratic, just be it.
Yeah, like the DA.
You want it in your name, then I worry. So you lost me there.
Right. So there's a trouble a-brewing in that part of the world. Okay, then we've got a story from Times Live. This may interest you. Cape Town Mayor Dan Plato has hit back at national government over refugees. This has become... You would think in a time like this, people would put aside party politics, but the Cape Town mayor says he's disappointed by national government in a public spat over the relocation of refugees in the city. A joint statement by Public Works Minister Patricia de Lille and Home Affairs Minister Aaron Motsoaledi was issued, placing the blame squarely on the city regarding the controversial relocation of 500 refugees. Now, these refugees, as I understand, were already there when Patricia was mayor of Cape Town. So she's trying to score a cheap political point in between her baking, as Pumi put it earlier.
She's making fetkook.
Right. So maybe she should stick to the fetkook. I don't know. I don't have particular love for Dan Plato. I don't know anything about the guy. But I do know Patricia was mayor and that we already had refugees in Cape Town when she was mayor.
The refugee situation in Cape Town, guys. Oof.
Well, what would you do?
Sure.
I mean, what would you do if you were in charge of Cape Town or if you were Home Affairs Minister and you had these probably illegal immigrants, but let's just say refugees, and they were living on the street and they were... obviously, you know, ignoring the social distancing rules, and they don't have anywhere to go. What do you do?
No, I think they're living in a church now.
Yeah, but they're not following the social distancing rules, and they have nowhere. I mean, it's not a sanitary situation. So what are you going to do?
Especially because there has been provision made for people who are homeless and all of that kind of stuff. There have been provisions made, even in the city of Cape Town, which we know hates homeless people.
Who likes homeless people, really? You know? I mean, like Hardy does. No, but the fact is, I mean, Pumi, they have. They've put up all these tents.
And these particular people are refusing any of that.
Right.
They just want to. They want to be relocated to Canada or something.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I'm saying? See, I remember we had this conversation a while ago. They want to be relocated to Canada. So, in their minds, even taking the temporary shelter would be a little like giving in to what they, you know, are saying they need. I think they should be arrested and spend the rest of their time of their lockdown time in jail.
Okay.
All of them with their kids.
Hard line with Pumi.
Wow.
You know what? That might be the only solution.
Wow.
All right. You want some more news? What's the time? Mm-hmm. Here we got a gap for a little bit more news.
Got to be informed.
Okay. Also from EWN this morning, FIFA. You know them. The corrupt organization behind football.
Oh, Mulelo.
Oh, yeah. No, you haven't spoken a lie yet. Go ahead.
FIFA on Monday urged clubs and players to reach agreements on wage reductions to protect... I can't believe this.
Stop it.
Yes, to protect clubs from suffering financial damage due to the coronavirus crisis. A call,
stop it.
Yes, a call from World Football's governing body comes as Premier League clubs are locked in talks with players and their representatives about taking pay cuts after government ministers called on players to play their part. But they don't want to. They want those big, like, 20, 30, 40, 60, 80, 100,000 pounds a week. They want that. They're not giving any of it up.
So, yeah, we'll be doing some more sports content later, if not later this week, later next week. I have a definite opinion on that. Stop it. Don't make anybody make... If I'm a footballer, I'm not taking a cent of a pay cut. Forget it. Get out
really?
Of here. Really? Of course not.
Okay.
Yay! Bulelo, no pay.
Is anybody saying to Bill Gates, right? Is anybody saying, Bill, how's about 15 of your billion, mate? You don't need that. No. So stop asking
Bill. You don't have to ask Bill because he's already donated.
You don't have to ask him. He doesn't have a job.
How much?
He's donated, like, first of all, his entire fortune, with the exception of...
50%.
No, I think it's more than that. I think he's giving...
So he's stepped down, so he doesn't have a job.
Bill Gates did not donate $50 billion. Stop it. Stop giving billionaires a discount. Stop asking millionaires to give billionaires a discount.
No, no, no. Bill Gates is the greatest philanthropist in human history by just the size of his donations. So if you don't want that, we can always turn it around and more people could have died of malaria. What would you prefer?
Look, he's got
to us, Mbulelo,
unlimited
wealth.
Mbulelo,
he'll just say let the people die. He'll just say let the malaria have its
stop
way.
Stop asking Bezos, Gates, you can give us a couple of more.
Here's what we're learning from Mbulelo this morning. We're learning what kind of a billionaire he'd be.
Sure.
Like
a Scrooge, that's who.
A Scrooge.
His only intention will be to have a framed portrait up at Eton.
Yeah. And Mbulelo, you know they say that if you're a horrible person when you're poor, you'll be a horrible person when you're rich.
Well, I've said this before. Money doesn't change people. Money just makes you more of who you are.
Yes. Well. Mm. That was more. That
your wasn't number.
Well, we
ladies
know
and
who
gentlemen.
You are.
Yeah, right. Thank you, Pumi. If you just tuned in, that wasn't about Bill Gates. That was about Mbulelo.
Mbulelo and his billions.
So you would not take a pay cut if you were one of these footballers.
If I was a footballer.
You haven't played football for, what, 2-3 weeks now?
No, I haven't played serious football in years. But no. Of course. I mean, you have to take it in the context. I get to play for 10 years.
Yeah.
And if I'm a footballer, here's my argument. Is clubs cut me like that, boom, and I'm gone. My career's 10 years long.
Yeah.
Stop it. There's especially in the first world countries, right? Nobody's a millionaire footballer unless you're living in like England, proper first world countries. Government, this is your time. Billionaires, this is your time.
Okay.
And I got contracts. Let me keep this thing going. Sure. It's not my job to look after society.
All right. Mbulelo drawing a hard line. Between Pumi saying arrest the homeless people and Mbulelo saying that I'm not getting my pay cut, we're seeing a lot of social cohesion here. A lot of friends for Becky Kele. All right. And then and finally,
fascism on the horizon.
And finally, we mentioned this at the start of the show this morning, but Boris Johnson's health has worsened and he's been taken to intensive care. This is from Reuters. Over the course of the afternoon yesterday, the condition of the Prime Minister has worsened, and on the advice of his medical team, he's been moved to intensive care at the hospital. PM has urged the Foreign Secretary, Dominic Raab, who is the first Secretary of State, to deputize for him where necessary. Wow.
This might just be an uninformed assumption, but are pregnant women at risk of the virus?
I don't know. I really have no idea.
Everyone's at risk.
Well, we got Dr. Robin later.
Well, more at risk.
Oh, that's right. We can ask Dr. Robin.
You can ask a doctor. Don't worry about it.
And Pumi, you asked about Dr. Robin the other day, so she emailed me straight after you asked and said she'd like
to. I'm very excited to hear.
Cool. All right. I've got a very special episode of Blind History coming up for you today. It's my favorite person from history. You want to guess who it is?
Ooh, Diana Ross.
No. No, it's not Diana Ross.
Charlie Chaplin.
No, it's not Charlie Chaplin. No, keep
going. Henry Ford.
We've already done Napoleon.
It's not Napoleon.
MC Hammer.
No, you need
to... Ooh, good one.
Mbulelo, that's my guy.
That's a good one.
MC You're a Pants Hammer. Guy. I know.
Yeah, that's right. MC Hammer. No.
You're a Pants Guy.
It's Augustus Caesar.
Oh.
Yeah. Although you can listen to the episode later. It's coming up at about 7:45 this morning. A brand new episode of Blind History. We still have a bunch of them to go. It's very exciting. We've got, and also if you really, and I got such a sweet email from somebody who listened to one of the episodes just the other day for the first time, and she's now got her kids listening, and you know, if you care about, like, this is a great time for listening to podcasts, and you can just binge the entire first two seasons and this third one, which we're about halfway through now. And you'll have plenty of material to keep you busy during the day. It's fascinating stuff. Anthony Medera, who co-hosts it with me, he's a real history nerd. He loves it. He read everything he could about every one of these people. And he told me and taught me things that I didn't even know about in every episode of Blind History. So we've got a special thing that we're going to be doing. In fact, we're recording it tomorrow, a history of pandemics. So we'll look at the story of the bubonic plague, some of the plagues of the ancient world, polio, you know, the things that we can perhaps learn from history and the way that history has dealt with plagues and the way that humans in history have dealt with plagues. So that's coming up, and we'll have that for you in a couple of days' time. Cool stuff.
So, by the way, why is he your favorite?
You know what, Sia? Like, if you read this guy's life history, he, by the time he was 20, he had already taken over an empire. He was adopted by Julius Caesar before he died. He fought Antony, Lepidus. He fought against foreign invasion. He managed to keep people like Cicero in the Senate in check. And he was all the while this incredibly quick-witted, thoughtful, super intelligent ancient world master who was interested in everything about his empire. Like, he cared about the supply of bread coming from Egypt. He rebuilt the center of Rome. In fact, there are buildings in the Forum which were put up by him that are still standing today. He introduced basic infrastructure in a way that nobody before him had ever done it. A lot of the laws that we consider to be foundational to not just liberal democracies, but to order in the world today were laws that were implemented by him. This guy was absolutely a man who almost seemed to be from, he couldn't have been in that time, because most people in that time were scratching around in the ground and, you know, sort of walking around and, you know, maybe mouthing obscenities to each other, but not really, there wasn't a smart time. And this guy came along and he just seemed like he was almost alien. He was so good. Amazing, wow. Human being, yeah. And the story of his life and his death is just, it's so moving. You've got to listen to this episode. It's gonna blow you away. So, Pumelele, I wanted to ask you about something. You are baking, and this is something a lot of people are trying right now.
Uh-huh.
Tell us about how that's going, and tell us what you've been baking.
Well, in fact, this morning we'll be baking a chocolate cake. Because, you know, so what the lockdown has done in my life is it's taken me from two full-time jobs, one of which I was quite, like, pedestrian at, being, like, a business person and a mom, to, like, five full-time jobs, because I'm now also the maid. I'm now also the teacher, also the entertainment. And judging from the state of my grass, I will be the gardener next week.
Oy, oy, oy.
So, and the baking is like a mixture of all sorts of things, right? So baking is a mixture of maths and science, because you have to measure things out and you have to, like, add and all sorts of things. And the science of it, you know, the why yeast rises things and heat and all of that kind of stuff. And baking takes like about an hour and a half, depending on what you're making, which is an hour and a half that you don't have to do something else to keep the little people entertained.
That's amazing.
fantastic in all sorts of ways. And then at the end of it,
you come out,
you have chocolate cake to eat.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, how can you not want that?
Yeah.
But it's like also because we've got the time now, right?
Yeah.
You've got the time. You're not going anywhere. You're not rushing off to another thing. You've got the time. So I seen, and then also a week and a half ago, all the bananas in South Africa went over ripe at the same time. That's why everybody made a banana bread.
So if now you I have time, and you have overripe bananas. Bread, oh.
Hey, listen, Sia, have you made your banana bread, or you're not even trying this?
No, I'm not. I made some chocolate pudding last night.
Oh.
And, yeah, we made blueberry muffins the other day as well. Yeah, I don't know. Baking also just makes you, like, feel like you accomplished something major.
Good.
It really does.
It is. It does make you feel that way because you're doing something. There's a result at the end of it. You can measure it by the joy and satisfaction of the people who eat what you've made. It's great.
And then nothing beats a spoon of batter to lick. Come on.
okay. So
what?
I have to admit, I've kind of enjoyed making food for myself for the first time because it was always more of a schlep. And I know Mbulelo's probably going to agree with me here because he also doesn't really care that much for food.
I care about the quality of the food, but I'm not like, oh, let's go out 10 of us and eat. No.
Yeah, you're not a foodie.
No. Clean, good food, that's it.
I cooked myself a proper meal. I think it was on Sunday. It was just for me. I mean, it was all pretty, but I didn't Instagram it. And it tasted really good. I was so proud of myself. So I get this baking thing. I mean, I haven't tried. I'd probably burn down my house. But I get that people are into baking. And I think, you know, we've got to have an entry point. So for those of us who might try it at some point during lockdown, would you say that a cake is the easiest thing to start with? Or muffins? Or what?
Muffins.
Muffins.
Muffins. Okay, muffins are the easiest thing. One of these days, I'm actually going to try bread.
Okay.
And if I get it right, I may never buy store bread again.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a nice thing to be able to do. People have been making bread since ancient times, so we should be able to do it, right?
And everything about it is exciting. I retweeted a thread about yeast because, like, people are baking so much, there's no yeast in the stores, right?
Canthan brought this up the other day. He said he actually went to one of the bakeries in Plettenberg Bay inside the shop that you were allowed to go into, and he got some wet yeast from them. Now, I don't know much about yeast. I don't know anything about baking at all.
But is it the yeast of your problems?
But he took this yeast and he also baked some bread. So this is something to do.
Dude, and yeast, again, speaking about science, is one of the most fascinating things. You can make your own yeast, right, from fruit and all sorts of things. Or even older bread, right? You can ferment yeast from old, like, slices of bread and make new bread.
Pums, I had to change the subject, but we're getting to 7
Dr.
o'clock.
Dr. Robin.
Yeah, do you want to hang on for Dr. Robin and just stick around for that? Okay, brilliant. She's coming up next, Dr. Robin, who is one of our listeners, and she's also a gynecologist and obstetrician, and she's going to tell us about what's going down in her lockdown, and also colleagues of hers who are in practice, and they are working 1 of 3 weeks each on lockdown. So we'll find out how that's going. That's coming up on cliffcentral.com. Next, stick around for all of that and a whole lot more. You do not want to miss 1 minute of this. Busy.
Hey, where's the drum?
CliffCentral.com.